Here we have Jesus in Luke 16. Most faithfully, or most famously, we remember Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, about the rich man in hell and Lazarus. But the first part of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus is giving a parable about a dishonest manager or dishonest steward. And he is speaking this to the Pharisees. And verse number 13, he says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and money." But the next two verses are the verses that we're going to deal with this morning. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men, or what is promoted among men, is an abomination in the sight of God." You see the image there on the projection. You see a feather and you see a rock on a teeter-totter of sorts. Does the feather and the rock weigh the same? Well, of course it doesn't. But this image is a representation of how people want to categorize sin. Have you ever heard the statement, "All sin is the same"? All sin, don't pick on certain sins. Maybe sins that you don't do, but Don't pick on certain sins. We hear that cry in our world today about sexual sin, all types of immorality, all types of other kinds of sin. And the mantra is, all sin is the same. Negatory. That is not true. And we will see in our time together this morning that that is not true. In the Word of God, you find many classifications of sin. In the Word of God, you find many different types of sin, different categories of sin. But we will say this, yes, sin is sin. One sin sends us to hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yes, all of us are guilty of sin. But there are those that will want to, trying to justify themselves, say, "Well, preacher, you might have a problem of eating too much, and I show it. But I happen to like to do this other thing, and so you like to eat, I like to whatever. We're both sinners." That does not compute. Just as that feather and that rock on a teeter-totter, they would know no more than, as you see there, a misrepresentation, be equal in scale. No, the rock, by the law of physics, it would tip over. We're going to get to these two verses here in just a moment, but the question today, the title today, are all sins equal? And the short answer is no. I would say no in the sense of different things around us that we know about and we want to think about. Are all sins equal? No. That's true. Not in the world of justice. Not in the world of justice. That's the first thing I want you to think about. These are just illustrations of this truth. Our justice system, our laws. Is every law the same? Every disobedience to the law the same? Well, I mean, as far as categories of crime, are there categories in our judicial system? There's four major categories of crime. There are felonies, misdemeanors, felony misdemeanors, and infractions. They're not all the same. There's five main categories of crimes. You've got crimes against a person, crimes against property, crimes that are statutory crimes, and there are financial crimes. They're all different. They are all in different levels of severity. A crime is a crime and must be or should be punished or must be acted upon by our legal system. So if you say all sin is equal, that is not true in the world of justice or law. What about in the world of the military? Are infractions of a soldier the same no matter what they do? Well, common sense tells you no. In the world of the military, you've got those who are charged with certain felonies or misdemeanors are in the law code in the military. It's a little bit different than our general. But in the military, you can do certain things and you can be punished. Certain things and you can be court-martialed. Certain things you could be dishonorably discharged. Certain things you can be put to death. So everything is not the same. All crimes are not the same in the military. As I was thinking through this, in the world of nature, there are wild animals that are somewhat forgiving when we trespass in their locale. They have areas that are marked off through scent and other things that say, this is my territory, and stay out. But you can transgress some until their young are involved. And when the young are involved, like a she-bear with her cubs, she will attack, she will charge, because you have crossed a level of seriousness in her mind that is threatening my children. And we fit into that world of nature too, don't we? Somebody mess with our children. It gets our ire up. And we say, enough is enough. You better not mess with my child, my grandchild. You better not mess with our children. It's a serious matter. And then, in the world of holiness, we see that all things are not equal. You will find in the Word of God that God hates certain things. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, it tells us 6 things God hates. But then he amps it up a level and he says, yeah, 7 are an abomination. You find the word abomination in the scriptures 62 times. It's an important word. An abomination is something that is a step above something that is hated, something that is detestable, something that God says is not acceptable in my code of holiness. It is abominable in my sight. How many sins can be in the presence of a holy God? None. You and I, even as saved people, people who have been saved, in our present condition, in our flesh, where sin still dwells, we cannot be in the presence of God. Literally, we would be annihilated. The book of Revelation says that there will be not one thing to enter heaven classified as sin. Little sin, big sin, no sin. But with God's word, with God's truth, with God's standards in our world today, the world has no concept of what's right and wrong. Generally speaking, yes. Even the conscience of man tells them that certain things are not right. Certain things are wrong. I like what Ray Comfort says when he is dealing with people on the streets and witnessing to people. And of course, people want to argue. He says, don't try to answer their arguments, because that's what they want to do, is just argue. Speak to their conscience. Speak to their heart. And that's exactly where the issue is in our world today. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. You know what that means in Timothy when Paul talks about some people have sinned and sinned and sinned, and they are so used to sin that their conscience, they have no conscience anymore. Their consciences are seared with a hot iron, like a hot poker stuck into butter. There's no resistance whatsoever. So in the world of justice, yes, there is a difference between sin. All sin is not equal. In the military, all sins are not equal. Even in the world of nature, all transgressions are not equal. And in God's world of holiness, sin is judged severely. Now let's transition from those thoughts now to Luke 16, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to point out in these two verses, I want you to have your Bible open. If you don't have a Bible, get one of the chair Bibles and turn to Luke 16. But I want you to see with your own eyes the words of Jesus here in verse 14 and 15. He uncovers their sin. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes hated Jesus because he uncovered, he revealed their true persons. Like a person that is clothed with a robe and they are naked, and that robe is pulled away and you stand there in shame. That's what Jesus did to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They like to wear their robes. They like to put their phylacteries upon their head, the little boxes that contain pieces of the law. And they wore those so people would see, oh, they honor the word of God. But Jesus said their hearts were far from God. Their mouths were close. They drew nigh to God with their mouths, close to God with their mouth. You hear them talk, you think, oh, that is close, very close to God. But Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. And Jesus made some points here that I want to extract in verse 14 and 15 for you to see. Now here is the first thing that Jesus says. He says that they were lovers of something. Verse 14, the Pharisees who were lovers, and I put there on the projection, dot, dot, dot. You can be lovers of many different things. But here he's talking to them who were lovers of money. Now, if you would have thought of the Pharisees just with a surface thought, you would think, oh, they're religious. They love God. They love the law. They love the temple. They love the priesthood. They love the sacrifices. They were the defenders of Judaism. But Jesus says they were lovers of money. I don't know if there's anything else in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that tells me that was inside of them. I would have not thought they were lovers of money. But Jesus said they were lovers of money. Jesus is doing the big no-no. He's judging them. Have you heard that lately? Oh, you can't judge. Oh, you got to be like Jesus. Jesus is judging them. Some people know Matthew 7:1 by heart, but don't know anything in Matthew 7 besides that first verse. Judge not lest you be judged. In fact, if you'll read Matthew chapter 7, you'll see that Jesus is actually saying, you must judge. You must judge righteously. Unrighteous or unfair judgment is a sin. But true judgment, righteous judgment, Jesus said there in Matthew 7, don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't give what's holy to the dogs. Well, Jesus, how am I supposed to know who the swine are or the dogs are? He's speaking there about those who value the things of God. Dogs and swine do not value precious jewels or pearls. Means nothing to them. And he says, don't cast you. You know, don't waste your time with casting precious things upon those that don't have any understanding of what is precious. So, I've got to make some assessments. I've got to make some discernments to see, you know, there's some judgments that must be made. He says, you're lovers of. Now, what are you a lover of? Paul says in the last days in 2 Timothy, he says that there would be a day when people would be three kinds of lovers. Lovers of self. Then he lists about 19 things that show that people are in love with themselves. Secondly, lovers of pleasures. And that is a perfect picture of our world today, whether it's sinful pleasures, sexual pleasures, or just plain pleasures out there in the world. Pleasure is not wrong in itself, but there are sinful pleasures. So Jesus said in the last days, going to be perilous times, dangerous times, bad times. We're in that day. And he says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Three kinds of lovers in the last days. I'm in that last category. Love God. My value system is based upon I love what God loves. I stand for what God stands for. I will judge what God says is wrong or sinful. So what are you today? Are you a lover of self? I mean, that's the criteria you have for everything is, how does it benefit me? How does it make me feel? Blah, blah, blah. Lovers of self. By the way, young people, lovers of self are disobedient to parents. Read that list. There's a long list there. Disobedient to authority, disobedient to teachers, disobedient to those who are trying to lead you and guide you. But Jesus says here in verse 14, number one, that they are lovers of what you would have never thought. You couldn't just look at them and see all of the outside and all of the pretense, and to hear them on the street praying, you would never know what was on the inside. Lovers of money. What did Paul say about loving money? 1 Timothy 6:10, it is the root, the love of money is the root of all what? Evil. So, in our world today, many are lovers of money, sex, selfishness, pleasures, just name it, lovers. The second thing I want you to notice here in verse 14 is that when they heard these things, when they heard what Jesus said, they ridiculed him. Do you see that in the last part of verse 14? They ridiculed him. Do you know what it means to ridicule? It means to mock. It means to scorn. It means laughter, laughing at. It means to deride. They did that to Jesus, the Son of the living God. God come in the flesh, standing in their presence, uncovering their sin, and they have a good laugh. They ridicule him. As we saw in Psalm 1 a couple of weeks ago, the blessed man or the blessed woman, the blessed person, doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Nor do they walk in the way of sinners. Nor do they sit in the seat of the what? Scornful. The ridicule. Those that ridicule. So Jesus, here Luke tells us, these Pharisees who were lovers of money heard all these things that Jesus had just got through telling them in verses 1 through 13, the parable of the dishonest manager, and they were the ones he was speaking to. They ridiculed him. They mocked him, they scorned him, they laughed at him, they derided him. And let me ask you the question, are you better than our master? If they did this to our master, will they do that to us? Of course they will. Can you take it? Will you take it? Will you stand up to being ostracized by society and maybe even in your own family, your friends, and those you associate with? There's a third thing I want you to see here in verse 15, and it's the word justify. He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves." Do you know what the word justify means? Justify means to make right, to be right, to be right with God in the biblical sense. But here is meaning that these Pharisees, they sought to justify themselves. Justify themselves in front of who? Look at your Bible. Before men, before other people. To justify, you make excuses. You come up with arguments. Just like the argument in our world today, well, all sin's the same. Just because I sin different than you, it's all the same. No, it's not. You're seeking to justify yourself. Well, all of my friends are doing it. It's accepted in our world today. Justify, justify, justify. Trying to justify yourself before men. It doesn't work. Oh, it will satisfy some people down here, especially when you seek to justify. Then your friend jumps on board and said, "Yes, I believe the same way you do," and somebody else, all trying to justify before man, before people, trying to your dead level best to make something that is wrong right. People do that in the crime world. They do that in all areas of life. They say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, cheating on your taxes, stealing something from the store. I mean, we've got people today that are going into stores and stealing and looting, and they say, well, they got insurance. Seeking to justify themselves before men. Let me point out something else in verse number 15. And that is, God knows. Do you see that? He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows. What is it that he knows? Your hearts. He sees right through you. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. That which is in dark, it has come to light. He knows. God knows. Quit trying to fool yourself. Quit trying to, you're being self-deluded if you think I can justify my sin. That next statement, for what is exalted among men, that word exalt means that which is promoted. That which is promoted among men. And here's my last thing, abomination. That which is exalted among men, promoted among men, celebrated among men, is an abomination in the sight of God. If we are going to look at things in our world today, sin and wrong and unrighteousness on a sliding scale, we can all justify ourselves. We can always find somebody worse than we are. We can always say find somebody who does, in our estimations, worse than we do. So that somehow justifies us. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. It doesn't cut it. We are all in our sin abominable in the sight of God. The only way we are acceptable in the sight of God is through his Son, through Christ, through his righteousness. He never sinned. He never had a wrong thought. He never did anything that violated the law of God, jot or tittle. And his perfect righteousness, he was a lamb without spot nor blemish, and he died in the place of sinners. Abominable. And he says that you can have all of my righteousness, my perfectness, my righteousness, if you believe upon me. So, on the cross, he took my shame. On the cross, he took my sin. He hung there naked before all. He took my shame. He took my sin. And we swapped. He gave me his righteousness. I gave him my abominable self. And what does God say that he does when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? We are now justified. Amen. We are now made right before God. The word justified is a legal term. In the courtroom of God, he says, I declare Rodney Queen righteous. All of my son's righteousness has been placed upon him. And now, he is right before God. Dear friend, today, Jesus here didn't beat around the bush. Jesus was very straightforward in what he said to these, and he is straightforward in our world today. God knows our hearts this morning, whether we are saved or lost. And he knows if we've been trying to play by the rules of the world, if we've been dancing to the piper's music of the world and going along trying to get along, but that ain't going to work. That will not work. Not if you're going to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must stand and you must be salt. And oh, when you got a wound, when there's the open sore of sin in this world, you don't want any salt getting into that. It stings. It aggravates. And also, we're to be the light of the world. In this dark place that we live, we as light shine. And you know what the roaches do when the light comes on. The roaches start scurrying. The light exposes them. Today, let's listen to Jesus. Let's not believe a fairy tale that a feather and a rock somehow can be equal. Doesn't work. Let's take the clear teachings of the Word of God here in Luke 16, 14, and 15. And let's learn from him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray today that you would convict every saved person in this room who has been compromising. Yes, we are to love people and we are to love sinners. The most disgraceful and reprobate in the world, we're to love them and show them the love of Christ. But we can't be buddies with them. They will, if we stand for the truth, they will turn away. They will mock. They will ridicule. But I pray that you will stand for what's right. Do what's right. It might even be in your own family that situations of things come up and you're ostracized even in your family. Those holiday weekends with your family, those Thanksgiving meals with your family. Be graceful. Be kind. Never an excuse to be unkind to people. But when the things are pushed, when the things are, and you can't get around it, stand for Jesus. Stand for the Word of God. Stand for truth. If you're here today and you've not been born again, you've not been saved, the Scripture says that you are commanded to repent and believe. Turn to Christ today, I pray. Let's stand for our closing song. This closing song talks about a legal place, the throne of God. No sliding scale. Before the throne of God, think about what it says.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and
the Lord. Well, this morning as we prepare now to dismiss, every Sunday morning I try to give you a departure blessing. This is called a benediction. And today our benediction comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that you may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. We're looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of silence. 10 or 15 seconds of silence. As soon as I cease what I have to say, remember no services tonight. I pray that you will remember tomorrow on Memorial Day. Remember those who shed their blood, gave their lives so that we could have a holiday tomorrow, have freedoms that we enjoy. God bless you as you go this afternoon. Let's just spend a moment of silence. And when the music starts, that's the signal the service is over.
bless you. Have a good afternoon. Good holiday.